But I sat here watching this game, waiting for the inevitable death, waiting for that inevitable. All right. Some are going to say it was a great year. Some are going to say we exceeded expectations. Excuses will be written. And I didn't feel that way. And I'll tell you exactly how I felt going into the ninth inning. What you would have gotten in the alternate universe of the Rico Bronya. I was sad. I wasn't even angry. I was sad. I was disappointed. I was like a disappointed dad because I'm watching bing, 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 one, two, three, bing, 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 one, two, three. And it was like, I'm just sad. Quintana through the game of his life. It was wasted. I was sad. Jose Buto, who's had a very good year this year. He comes in, throws a 3-2 hanger to Jake Bowers. I was sad. I was mad, actually, as he gave up the home run. And then when Frelick went deep, I was just sad. So I was going to give you, because this is how I honestly felt, a very sad edition of Rico. I wouldn't have been angry. Maybe I would have been eventually. Maybe I'd have worked myself up to anger, but it was sadness. Then that sadness turned to nervousness as that ninth inning began, as Lindor had the great at-bat, as Nimmo came through with the 0-2 single. When Pete came up, the nervousness went to overdrive because I knew that it wasn't just the season on the line, he was on the line. I knew that. I knew it wasn't just the Mets season, it was him. If he drew a walk, it still wouldn't have been changing anything about Pete to most Met fans. And that's what I thought he was going to do after my initial thought of him bouncing into a double play. When it got to 3-1, I thought, oh, he's going to draw a walk. And Iglesias is going to come up, and who knows what Jose is going to do. He could get the game-winning hit. He could ground into a double play, too. No idea. But it was going to pass the baton on Pete. And for most Met fans, it would have been, he sucks. He can't come through in a big spot. Pete Alonso, with one swing, changed a game, changed a series, changed the season, and changed his legacy, and changed everything about him. Because I don't think there was a Met fan who believed in the bottom of the eighth inning as they started to think to the offseason, because that's what happens when you're facing a slow death. You start to think. It's like your girlfriend back in high school is breaking up with you, and you see her. She's doing it, and you start thinking about, all right, who am I going to try to hook up with next? And that's exactly what was happening in the bottom of the eighth. And you're thinking about Soto. You're thinking about Bregman. You're thinking about Burns. You're thinking about, oh, Pete can never come back. He was uncomebackable in the bottom of the eighth inning. And now Pete Alonso lives so importantly in Met history that when we get to the point of talking about him and talking about his future, the discussion is going to be very, very different. Wow. Wow. But after he hit the home run, I started shaking. Two emotions, shaking physically and like a little tiny tear. I wasn't crying, tiny tear. Shaking and tear. I started vibrating. My arms started vibrating. And that has not happened when I watch a lot of incredible sports moments, good and bad. You know, I remember the exact feeling I had when Beltran struck out, the exact feeling I had when the Nets lost to the Bucks in Game 7, the exact feeling I had when Shea was closed. And usually it's like shock, sadness, or anger. I remember the happiness, too. Like Robin Ventura's Grand Slam single, I was just jumping up and down. Or the other day, you guys got to see it on the live stream if you watched, when they made the playoffs. Just raw animalistic excitement. This was different, Hoff. This was shaking and emotion. That's what came out of me when Pete hit that ball over the right field fence. I still can't freaking believe it.
I don't think there's anybody that didn't feel that way. That did, like, you guys know the story. My kids aren't Mets fans, but my 7-year-old was sitting here screaming with me, laughing a lot, but screaming with me. Oh, because he was like, oh, this team is done. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And we were sitting there talking about Quintana. We're talking about everything you mentioned. And in a, just like that, it turned into holy shit, and then it turned into, wait a second, who's going to close out this freaking game? What are we going to do?
Yeah, so there's a lot of aspects of this game, a lot of it. So let's go right to that, because the other shouldn't be forgotten unsung hero moment of this game was Jesse Winker and Starling Marte. Jesse Winker did two very important things in this game. He got hit by pitches numerous times. The first time he got hit by a pitch in the fifth inning, I was hopeful it was going to lead to something. It led to dick. It led to the Mets doing absolutely nothing against Tobias Myers in his final inning of work, the fifth inning. We'll get to that later, I'm sure. And then after the Alonso home run, with two outs and nobody on, up by a run. Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing, Pete. Who's going to come in a pitch? I'm also thinking, man, I hope Jesse can get a hold of one, because a two-run lead feels a lot better than a one-run lead. And Winker sticks his dopey little elbow out again behind in the count. Thank you, Jesse. He is my favorite douche. And my absolute all-time favorite douche is Jesse Winker, and he's our douche. So I say that lovingly. And then he steals second. Meanwhile, I'm thinking to myself, why is he even in the game? You've got Acuna on the bench if you want to go get speed. Why is Jesse Winker even there? But it doesn't matter. That klutz with no athletic ability, his words not mine, stole second base. And to make things even better, behind in the count, Starling Marte on base four times in game two. And in this game, not the greatest game in the world, what does he do in the most important moment? Not the most important moment, the fifth most important moment, but certainly an important moment at that point in the ninth inning. Slaps one to right field to drive Winker in. Mendy, I love you. Why Winker wasn't pinch run for, I don't know. I can't answer that one. But who cares? Because that unathletic klutz, the most hated man in Milwaukee, besides Doc Rivers, was able to score from second on a very underrated RBI single by Starling Marte. Kudos to Starling.
And an underrated moment was Jesse Winker sliding into home plate, and then whoever gave him that prop of a broken helmet, so he slammed it and it just exploded. I don't know if you saw that, but it's just feeling, everything is just amazing right now. Everything's just set up perfectly.
I tell you something else that's amazing, because we've had this in our building a lot, that eerie silence / road fans taking over a building where it's not a great amount of road fans, but there's enough road fans where you hear them, but you also hear the eerie silence of the home crowd. We've had that before. We had that before in the Connor Gillespie, Madison Bumgarner game. We had that most definitely in game seven against the Cardinals. Not really a lot of road fans, but the eerie silence, the end of game five against Kansas City. There was nothing better than the eerie silence of a stunned and shocked American family field.